especially last year. And so as I was praying this week about the message, I really felt like the Lord wanted us to have an understanding that there is more. There is more. In Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26 is where we're going to start. It says, "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately." And what I notice on that is that Apollos was a Jewish man. He was a Jewish man. We learned that he is an eloquent speaker. We learned that he knew the scriptures very well. We learned that he had been taught the way of the Lord. He had been taught about Jesus, and he taught others with an enthusiastic spirit. But even though he taught with accuracy, he was missing a key component. And when Priscilla and Aquila figured out that he was missing a key component, they were like, "You're doing a great job. We love what you're doing, but you're missing something." And I just found myself wondering how many of us at this time in our lives, we're recognizing that we need more of the Holy Spirit. We need more. So, but it's funny to me because scripture doesn't explain what Priscilla and Aquila said to him. It just said, they explain the way of God more accurately. And you would like for there to be a little clarity there, but there wasn't. And so in order to understand, I think we have to go back. If you want to flip over to Acts chapter 2, you will see after Peter was preaching the very first time after the Holy Spirit fell, he was preaching. And at the end of the sermon, some people were like, "Oh, we believe you, but what do we do?" And this was his response in verse 38, Acts 2, verse 38. He says, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I think the more that we need to look at today, I want to look at today, is that yes, Apollos had experienced the baptism of John, which was a baptism of repentance. I don't think we need to toss that one. I think that's a good one to keep. But I think we also need to remember there is more. And the more is, in Jesus, there is a baptism of forgiveness. We're not just stuck in repentance. I feel like some of the world is. I feel like some of the world is still stuck on repent, 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 repent. And they forget there's a baptism of Jesus. And I don't want us to forget. There's a baptism of Jesus that means we are forgiven. We are wiped clean. We are made new. We don't have to stay in that, oh, repentance, repentance, repentance. We can move into forgiveness. And what a beautiful gift that we get to move into repentance. But then there's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is power. Power. I don't know about you, but in the process of having grieved and grieving, continuing to grieve what we've lost in our world and the changes in our world, I feel like I need power more than ever before. It's interesting because about a year ago, I bought this thing called a UPS. It's not the United Parcel Service. It's called an uninterruptible power supply. Does anyone know what that is? Raise your hand. Oh, Roger and Ron. Yep, a few of you do. So I bought this because I'm teaching my little Chinese students in the morning, and I wanted to be able to not lose connection with them if I lost power. And so this uninterruptible power supply makes it possible that if I lose power seamlessly, it continues. I have my internet connected to it, and I have a few other things connected to it. I feel like in our day, we need an uninterruptible power supply. And I think that's the Holy Spirit. But unlike mine, so mine, when I have that, if it's on because the power has gone out, I have about 3 to 6 hours worth of usage before I lose that. Okay, depending on the demand I'm making on it. If I have a lot hooked up to it, I'm going to lose it faster. But if I don't have much hooked up to it, then I'm going to keep it longer. We are living in a day where we are putting a high demand on our faith. Does that make sense? Nod your head if you understand what I'm saying. We are putting a high demand on our faith because we are stretched. Everything has changed. Everything feels different. And so we need to be plugged in, not to a box that's an uninterruptible power supply. We need the Holy Spirit like never before. We need the more. Paul found it so important in Acts 19. So you should be very close already. In Acts chapter 19, it says this about Paul. Acts chapter 19. I'll give you a minute to look at that. I missed the screen behind us. Does anybody, where you have all the scripture for you, but that's okay. Amen. Oh, Ron's got signs. Amen. All right. So in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, it says this: while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. And the first question he asked them, he knew they were believers, but the first question he asked them was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No, they replied, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience, he asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had already experienced the baptism of John. Now they're getting the baptism of Jesus. But when Paul laid his hands on him, the Holy Spirit came on them all, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, the massive, uninterruptible power supply. Amen, amen. That's what I see in Acts. I'm not going to give you all the references, but it's basically the whole rest of Acts chapter 19. Read it on your own this week. I think you'll enjoy it. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have courage to share your faith. I feel like with everything that's going on in our world right now, we have an opportunity, like I shared last week, we have an opportunity to share our faith in whole new realms, whole new realms. And but we need courage, and we need to be plugged into the uninterruptible power supply in order to have courage that when the moment strikes, we are ready and we are able to jump on that moment and seize the opportunity. We also see that Paul had power to do unusual miracles. I love in Acts 19 where it says that he had the power to do unusual miracles. That means there must have been just plain miracles. Right? Bill Johnson said that once, and I'm like, wow, that's true. He had the power to do unusual. And then it goes on to talk about what unusual miracles look like. It says that pieces of his handkerchiefs and his apron were sent to people, and when they were placed on people, those people were healed. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that kind of power at work in our lives? That if we hear that someone is sick, we put something on them that has touched us and they get healed? Like, wow. Wow. And I like that it specifies his apron and his handkerchief. My dad was a handkerchief guy. Anybody else a handkerchief person? A real handkerchief? Oh, Dave. Yep. My dad loved his hanky. Always had a hanky. But he would use the handkerchief to wipe the sweat from his brow. Right? But an apron is a work garment. And I really like that God used both. We also use hankies to blow our nose, right? Doesn't matter with God. He can use anything when he wants to use it. And so I want to have that kind of power flowing in my life on a regular basis. I want to be able to do that. Oh, Dave's got an apron on. That's good. Touch that to people and let them get healed. We also saw that Paul had an ability to get really clear direction from the Lord. We need direction from the Lord right now. Don't let someone else's voice replace God's voice in your heart. Don't let the news replace his voice. Don't let your political cronies replace his voice. Let God be the loudest voice in your head. Yeah. Let God speak to you. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what happens. You can hear God's voice and get clear direction. And then I love that in Acts 20, verses 1 and 2, it says that Paul encouraged believers. He went around encouraging people. And I think that came from being connected and filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I tend to leak. Life happens. I get overwhelmed with details. And then I feel like I need to constantly get refilled. This morning, even in my sleep last night, God spoke to me. I hadn't planned to talk about the uninterruptible power supply. In my sleep, he gave that to me. Because when we are filled with the Spirit, he can speak to us whether we're working for his voice or not. And so I encourage you to find a way to keep yourself filled with the Spirit during this season. It is a challenge. Hi, Janelle. It's a challenge, but I know that we're up for the task or we wouldn't be alive at this time. God put us on the earth at this time for a reason. And I believe that he has made you capable of being filled with the Spirit on a continual basis, turning worship music on, turning messages on, whatever it is, going for a walk, sitting on your front porch. Whatever it looks like to get filled with the Spirit for you, it might look different for you than it does for me. But I encourage you to find a way to get filled with the Spirit. A while back, Richard said to me, Richard Exley, our overseer, I was kind of complaining about my life and how busy it was. And he, in his most stern voice, said, Sandra. He always calls me Sandra, not Sandy. Sandra, you are the master of your calendar. And so I pass that along to you today. You are the master of your calendar. You might be trapped in your home, but you are still the master of your calendar. You can still decide what you will do and when you will do it. And it comes with the responsibility of how much of my time am I going to devote to the Spirit that needs to be filled up on a regular basis. Those of you who are still working, we are so thankful for you that you're essential employees. We thank you. I know Chris. I know Jerry. Who else is still working? Raise your hand. Anybody? Yep. Roger from home. I'm still working from home. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Many of us are still working. Kevin, you're probably working as hard as ever, right? Trying to get trained, right? So Laura's still working. I know she's on front lines on dispatch. If you're working from home, you might not have as much room in your calendar, but you still have some room in your calendar. So figure out how to keep yourself filled with the Holy Spirit. I just want to pray a blessing over you right now, if I can. God, I thank you. thank you for every person who is listening right now. I thank you, God, that you have deposited your Holy Spirit within us and that you love it when we continually get filled. Even in Acts, it shows Peter and the other disciples getting filled multiple times. It shows that. And so, God, we recognize that we need to get filled with your Spirit over and over and over and over again. If we're going to be effective in this culture that we are in, we need to be filled with your Spirit. And so, God, I can't touch the people who are hearing me right now, but you can. And so I pray that in our homes right now, your Holy Spirit would come down and touch every person who is hearing. That your Holy Spirit would fill each of us with power, that we can be an encouragement to others, that we can hear your voice, that we can get direction, that we can do unusual miracles. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us in a way that we have never experienced before, every one of us, that we would be able to commune with you and fellowship with you in a way that's life-giving for us and our families and life-giving to everyone we come into contact with. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you are not limited by technology. You are not limited by a lack of us being in the building together. You are not limited in any way. There is no lack in you. So send your Holy Spirit down on each of us in our own homes right now, all over Northeast Ohio. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So take a moment. If you don't have your communion, gather your communion. I'm still keeping you muted for a moment, and then I'll unmute you after communion, and we can chat, do our family chat. Yep, I have mine. This is a beautiful cup that Rem brought me from Japan. Isn't that gorgeous? It's like a little teacup. I like it. Does everyone have their cracker or donut or bagel or whatever it is, Coke, Diet Coke if it's Noah? Nope, there's Coke. Kevin's got it. Yep. Whew. I love, is everybody ready? Not yet. We'll wait. Gather your communion elements. Cracker. Natalie has a Cheez-It. I'm a little jealous of the Cheez-It. Oh, is that a Rice Krispie treat or a granola bar, Jerry? Looks good. Oh, there's Laura. She has hers. Okay, is everyone ready? Thumbs up if you're ready. Give me the thumbs up. Thumbs up? Okay, good. Good. Perfect. So when Jesus was with the disciples and Luke, it tells us he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Hey, Dave, could you pray over this? Let me unmute you. There we go.
Okay. Lord, yes, we just pray over these problems. Same yesterday, today, and forever, like body. We just think that it's health, healing, and to our minds and our hearts and our bodies, our families, work, families. Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's take the bread together.
The bread together.
I muted myself so you would hear the crunching. Meat thins are kind of crunchy. Little on further down the passage, it says, after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. I've told you before, and I want to mention it again, that when we drink this juice, it signifies that we accept the terms of the new covenant. the new covenant that offers health and wholeness and freedom without us having to work for them. That it was all finished on the cross. And so I just ask you to remember that as we take this juice together. Let's see. How about Roger? Would you mind praying for us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, just thank you for this time together as a family, and we just we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us over and over again. We just pray that this time we've been listening, thank you for sacrifice. And we pray that this juice, wine, whatever, just represent the cleansing that you bring to us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take the juice together.
Me too, Kevin.